Are you tired of the non-stop hustle and grind? Welcome to Life in Business, the podcast for business owners who want success without sacrificing life. I'm Libby Langley, your host, award-winning, no BS, straight-talking business coach, Amazon best-selling author, and the queen of easy business. Join me to learn simple and practical strategies for growing your business, your profits, and your confidence, and for having fun too. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Life in Business with me, your host, Libby Langley. That was a very sing-song introduction, wasn't it? Well, this is a kind of sing-song episode, so I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for joining me. Today, I'm talking about mindset, the minefield that is mindset. Does that work? Yes, that works. Okay. And what a business owner's mindset is. I kind of talk about this a lot, right? You know, you've listened to previous episodes of this podcast and you'll know that I talk about the difference between owning a business and being a business owner, okay? To me, there's a huge difference. And I kind of want to tell you a bit of a story today that will help cement, clarify, and give understanding to what I really kind of mean about that. And I don't know why I haven't shared this story before. A keynote talk that, when's this go out? I will have done by the time this episode goes out. I'm talking about this story in this keynote, and I just thought, you know what? I've never really shared that publicly. So yeah, here is another little blimey, she's done that too, into the world of Libby. So right, business owner's mindset. What you need when you have a business is the right set of skills, the right set of attributes, the right knowledge, and the right kind of approach, yeah, mindset. Because if you don't have that, you can have all the tools in front of you in the world, right? But without knowing what, just not having your head in the right place, right? Or even knowing that your head's not quite in the right place and therefore knowing what it is that you need to, you could get support on, is the thing that's going to get you unstuck, right? Absolutely. And it will be the reason why, absolutely not speaking from experience here at all, of course, it will be the reason why you buy, you know, lots of courses and you kind of waste money on things that you don't need. It's because of your mindset, right? And it's not to say, oh my goodness, it's not to say that you need to you need to be like the positive mental attitude. Yeah, I can smash it. You know, you don't need to wake up every day and think that, but you need to acknowledge that you have to think like a business owner. You have to think like the CEO. You have to kind of have your big girl pants on and do that. You know, that's really important. And that's the business owner mindset. It's also incredibly difficult to maintain that. I find it difficult. There's no two ways about that. However, what I'm going to tell you is a story today about life before I realized that this was a thing. Okay, so it's kind of quite a funny story in a way, but I think I always wanted to run my own business, right? When I was young, like a child, proper child, rather than just an adult child, when I was a child, I used to make things and sell them to the neighbours. So I remember that there was a period of making pom-poms. Remember, like you wind the wool around the cardboard circle, tie it in the middle, cut it around the edge, you got yourself a pom-pom. Used to make pom-poms with my friend next door who was 18 months younger than me and kind of, you know, did everything that I told her to, which was great. So we made these pom-poms and we sold them, I think, for like 20p or something to the neighbours. So that was one thing. And then there was a magazine, created a magazine. I think my parents still have a copy of it, but this magazine, it's called Star Magazine. And there were interviews in there. The old guy next door got interviewed. And I seem to remember adding, my dad wrote a story for it and adding in part of an excerpt from Roald Dahl, one of Roald Dahl's books. But there was this magazine that had a number of episodes, and again was sold to neighbours. We would deliver it. They would subscribe and we would deliver it. So did that for a while. So there was kind of this entrepreneurial streak. And one summer, my brother and I ran a tennis school for the kids in the cul-de-sac, you know, the village where we lived. And people would come and pay us, I can't honestly, a pound? I can't remember, to basically play on a swing ball. I didn't know the rules of tennis, and I still don't know the rules of tennis. But we had this tennis school that ran, you know, for a bit one summer. That was with my brother. So there's always been this kind of entrepreneurial streak, even though I had zero role models. And I mean, absolutely like the total opposite of this. My parents were both teachers. My dad was deputy head. And that was what you did. You know, that you got a job. A lot of their friends were kind of professors or worked in universities, that sort of stuff. And you got a job that was probably in the public sector, but there was a career job. And that was it. And you got your pension and then you retired and that was it. So that was kind of the only role model that I knew, the only life that there wasn't really an alternative to that. But I obviously had this streak in me. And actually the first job I got, I was 13 and I became a junior agent for two local papers. There was the county one, and then there was the town one for the town that was about a mile or so away from where we lived. So these, one was a weekly, one was a daily, and I became the junior agent for that. And in those days, the 80s, sheesh. There wasn't a news agent, right? The news agent in the town that was a mile away didn't deliver to the village where we lived. So I got the contract. I think someone else in the village had done it and they got too old and didn't want to do it anymore. And so I got the contract to do this. And I used to get the papers delivered directly to me and I would go and deliver them. So 30 odd papers every evening, Monday to Saturday, and then plus an extra, I don't know, 30 or so once a week on a Wednesday when this paper came out. So I used to do this all the time. If it was checking it down, mum would drive me, as far as I remember. But, you know, I was out 2 years, I think, maybe or so. I did this 18 months. And then I got a job in a shop and sweet shop and blah, 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 blah. But the thing about this junior agent job was that it was actually a little business. So I was responsible for all the papers being delivered to me. I had to order the right amount. And I had to collect all the money and I had to then pay for the papers at the end of the week. So every Friday I collected all the money and I had to pay off however much it was direct. I think I imagine that my parents kept all the change and then sent a check, but I don't remember the details of that. I remember kind of counting all the money out on the kitchen table. But I used to get about £25 a week. That's what I used to keep, right? So this was 1980... Nine, seven, I don't know, something like that. Second half of the 80s anyway. Yeah, so that was like a proper business. And it was a lot of money then, because if you did a paper round direct for a news agent, you probably got about £5, right? You probably got £5 a week. But I used to get 25. And in tips at Christmas, I ended up getting about £90 because it was in a village. They all knew me. And I used to get Easter eggs and birthday presents and all this stuff. And in the end, I stopped doing it because I didn't want to do it every day. And I say then I went and got a job in a shop in town and all of that. So it was a real proper business. And I think I kind of always had this entrepreneurial streak in me. So I always thought that something would be different, I think. But it wasn't, because I got a job because that's what you did. And then I had a job or jobs and jobs and jobs for a long time. And then in 2006, I think it was, I thought, oh, I'm going to start a business. But what I did was I bought a franchise. So having had however many years, you know, 15, 20 years of working, I thought, this is it. This is my opportunity. This is what I want to do. And I don't remember where I saw the advert for this franchise. I don't remember at all any of those details. But from memory, it was something like £5,000. So it was not an insignificant investment 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And so 18 years ago, I think. So I bought this franchise, and it was a magazine for kids, like kind of things to do. And it would come out quarterly, and it would go out in book bags. Do kids have those still? I don't know. Book bags in primary schools, right? So the concept was brilliant. And I thought, wow, this is it. And they said that you could make 25, 30 grand for working 20 hours a week. I don't remember what I was earning in my job, but I imagine that was probably a bit less, but for less hassle, right? I was going to be my own boss. So I bought the franchise and thought, this is it. Ta-da! This is the making of me. Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that, does it? So I certainly didn't in my experience. And the reason that it didn't was because I didn't know how to be a business owner, right? We're very quick to blame the circumstance. So we're very quick to blame, in this my scenario here, very quick to blame the franchisor, right? The person that bought the franchise off. However, now, nearly 20 years later, and with all the knowledge I've gained over the last 13 years of owning my own business proper, is that I didn't have a business owner's mindset. I thought that buying a franchise would just magic everything. I thought it would make everything easy. I thought, oh, someone else is responsible. I just kind of have to do the bits that I do. And I thought that I would just make this money, right? However much it was, 25, 30 grand a year for just doing the hours that they said that I would be able to do. But I was so naive, just so naive, that I kind of couldn't make it work. And basically, I guess it was kind of ad sales, really, which I'd done for local papers and national magazines and stuff before. But so it kind of wasn't an issue with selling the ad space and filling the magazine and creating it. I loved doing that. But I didn't understand about the other stuff. I didn't understand about the money. I didn't understand about pricing. We were given kind of some guidance, but I didn't know about this. I didn't understand about what needs to go into running a business. I just thought that if I sold some ads and I did the hours that they'd sold me on, that would be enough. But it is just so much more nuanced than that. You've got to take responsibility. You've got to dive into kind of what needs to happen. You've got to understand why you're doing what you're doing, what it is that motivates you, what it is that you believe in. And the oddest thing about it all was that I'd bought a franchise that I wasn't even remotely in a field that I wasn't even remotely interested in. You know, I've never had kids. I've never wanted to have kids. I children's activities are not, you know, anything in the world that I'd experienced. And I was relatively young. I was in my 30s, but I forget how old I am. But anyway, was I? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I can't do the maths. So, you know, it was an odd purchase, I'll say. It was a kind of misaligned purchase, but I just had the dream of, oh my God, I can work less and I can earn more. Yeah. And so it'll be come as no surprise to you that after a year it just didn't work. So I think I did three episodes editions of this magazine, and then said, come on guys, this is just not working. You know, I'm not making any money here. And in the end, I kind of gave it back. That was the agreement. And what's interesting though is that they sold it. They started selling it as I was going through the process of handing it back. And actually, the new owner made a lot of changes, and it's still going strong now, all these years later. So I feel a little bit vindicated that it wasn't entirely entirely me. There were internal issues too. However, I can definitely see now that because I thought I can just buy this, I'll make all my money, without really understanding what being a business owner was. And so I went back to what I knew. I went back into education. I worked for an FE college. I'd worked for a couple before, and I basically got headhunted to go back into that job. And I had a really good job, really senior management job that I did for nearly 4 years. Until, and you'll know the story of this, it all went wrong and I left in a bit of a huff. So I started my business then, my own business independently, having spent the 4 years between having the franchise and starting my business. Actually, I see now working on my mindset and crafting some of my skills. So in that time, I'd done some management qualifications prior to buying the franchise. And then in that kind of 4 year period between franchise and business, I did a postgrad management qualification. I started my MBA. I went to various conferences and events. I started experimenting and writing my own social media workshops, which is then what I did when I started the business. And kind of started thinking differently. So I started to understand a lot more about profit and loss. And because I had to cost courses for the business, for the college that I worked for, because I was in the commercial arm. And, you know, really kind of, I guess I really kind of grew up in those years. It's funny, thinking about the timeline of it, it staggers me that me starting the business and owning that franchise were so actually so close apart, because it feels like, It feels like worlds away. But I suppose you have periods in your life where actually you can make a lot of progress in quite a short space of time. And I don't know if that's like age related, stage of life related, all this stuff, who knows. But when I started my business that I still run now, I went in with a different attitude right from the start. And I knew that I was going to have to graft. Really knew I was going to have to graft if I wanted to make this a success. And I don't think that was a conscious thought. It was just a knowing. And so I did. And I put in my 14-hour days for quite a while. You know, I did all that. I did all the groundwork and everybody knew me and I knew everybody else. You know, I was there. I was out there. I was doing it. And I very quickly became the kind of go-to person. But looking back, I can see that whilst I had the business owner's mindset of you've got to put in the effort to get the reward, it's not about hard work. It's about putting the effort in the right places, which I didn't know when I bought the franchise, because I thought buying a franchise would just magic it all. But I, you know, so I put in the effort. I put in the, yeah, I worked. I did work hard and I was really focused and really determined, but I still didn't really know about stepping back from it all because I was in it, right? I was doing it. I was writing the courses, delivering the courses, doing social media management, doing the sales, doing the customer service, doing everything. And then I got some staff. So they did some of the do, but I was still doing a lot of the do and earning a lot of the money to pay them and to pay the office costs. So I hadn't mastered this need to step back, right? The need to step back in business. To have a business owner's mindset, you need to be able to step back from what's happening in the day-to-day and the do, right? You need to step back from doing the do and look at everything in a much more holistic way. So look at things, as I say to my clients, what would a CEO do, right? And when you think of a CEO in a bigger corporate, right, they're not doing all the do because they've got infrastructure, they've got people, they've got consultants, they've got whatever to do all the do. They're running, they're steering the ship, yeah? They're not also cleaning the cabins. And that's the shift. And I didn't have that when I first started my business. I was in it. I was in masterminds and I was in programs, and I went to lots of conferences and events. So I was always working on myself, and I knew the importance of having to work on myself. But I don't think that I was actually doing it. So on mastermind days, I would take days out to work on my business, and that was fine. I could strategically plan, and I could see a focus and see a future. But then I would still be doing a lot of it myself, and still kind of go back into it. So I don't think I don't think the shift had happened. And what kind of culminated out of all of that is after a couple of years, three years, whatever, some years, I made all my staff redundant. And it was a really dreadful time in my business, but I'd made the decision that this wasn't the work less, earn more approach to business and to life that I wanted. So I changed everything and I made them redundant, gave up the office and went back home. And that's something that I've talked about a lot. And that was the start of business 2.0. I think I'm on about 7.0, version 7, iteration 7 now. but that was kind of a real big shifting point. And looking back now, because that all happened in 2015, so it's 9 years, right? Been a lot of healing and a lot of thought since then, and a lot of change and development in me since then. And what I realized is that I was driven by the excitement and the adrenaline of it all, right? It was great. It was a great time. And I was taking no prisoners. You know, I was on this path and whoo, go, go, go. But what I got carried away with was the freedom of being a business owner, right? So I took one of my staff to a conference in San Diego, which I've been to like 8 times, something, and I've been to San Diego 10 times or something to conferences. But I've been to this one, Social Media Marketing World, probably eight times, I think, over the last 10 years. And I took one of my staff to it, and that was great. And then we went to Vegas, to Zappos, to a customer service course, and had a couple of nights in Vegas, all expensed, right? All expensed, including the drinks in the bar and all these, all expensed. And I never really thought it's a fantastic experience. I don't regret it for a moment. And that the crazy drive we did from San Diego to Vegas is one of the best days that I've had in my life. However, it was fun. It was fun. And was it me thinking like a CEO and a business owner? Was I in the business owner mindset? No, I wasn't. I can look back now and see that I wasn't, which is why we made a lot of money, but we didn't make much profit. You know, I spent all the profit. And sometimes more. One year I was negative to 3%, I think, even though it was my biggest turnover year. So, you know, don't believe all the stats that you see, right? But I had a lot of fun. And what I can see now is that there is absolutely a balance between the two. So I went almost from one extreme to the other. I went from the owning the franchise, thinking that would just make the money, to making the money and going, whoa, look at all the stuff that I can do. This is so exciting. We can have this. We can have branded T-shirts. We can paint the walls, the corporate colours and branded colours and, you know, all of this. And I went too far the other way. So there is a happy medium, right, in terms of this business owner's mindset. And that's where I am now. Right. I believe now that I've found the sweet spot between having the drive, focus and determination and building the life that I want and considering every step that I take and everything that I do. So making these conscious business decisions now. Yeah. So there's very little that I do in my business on impulse, which is someone with ADHD is like, sheesh, listen to her, you know, so proud. But there isn't much that I do on impulse now. I do think through things and I sit with things and I am much more conscious. And that's what I help my clients with, really, in a nutshell. It's like, what is it that's not right? What is it that's not sitting right? What do you think where do you feel kind of the disconnect is or the problems are? Okay, let's pick that apart. And there is a high percentage that some of it will be that you don't have a business owner's mindset. My clients don't have a business owner's mindset. And we can work on it. Yeah, it isn't something that, oh, you haven't got it, you're never going to have it. It's like, oh, it's just about understanding. It's just about reframing the actions that you're taking and the way that you're kind of approaching your business. And that's where this, what's the word? Xanadu is that the right? Xanadu is the utopian space, right? I think. But that's where this exists in your business. It's about that sweet spot between going crazy with the freedom it affords you and just expecting it all to happen because you've started the business, right? The middle ground is where the magic happens. And it's been a hell of a journey for me to kind of get there. But the self-awareness and the consciousness now that I've been on that journey and knowing that's my real ability to help other people do that is just fantastic. It's like a weight lift is lifted, right? It's like, you know, you don't need to blame anyone else and you don't need to blame yourself for anything because it's like, let me reflect on that. Oh, I see. So what do I need to change? What do I need to keep the same? What do I need to say no to? What do I need to say yes to? Right, let's put some structure in and implement it. And it's great. It's great. And it does make such a difference to your bottom line too, which is kind of ultimately the reason we're all in business, right? It does. So if anything that I've said to you today has made you think, I get it, then get in touch with me. We will have a chat and we'll kind of work out something that can support you too. So, you know, there's lots of ways to work with me from an hour to 12 months. It's entirely up to you. But message me on Instagram at Libby Langley or find me on LinkedIn, search for Libby Langley, and just tell me what's going through your head and where you are and what your journey has been and what your experience is. And let's kind of work out a way to make things different for you for the rest of this year and forever, because this stuff doesn't go away. It stays, which is also a magical beauty of it. So that's how you get your business owner's mindset. And I wish that for you. And I'm cheerleading you on. Yay! So thank you for joining me today. And I'm going to see you next week, all my fabulous business owners. Thank you for listening to Life in Business. Please make sure that you subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review as it helps others to find the podcast and spread the word that there's an easier way to do business. If you want to chat with me about today's episode or suggest a topic for the future, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram at Libby Langley. See you next week.